Ship rules had been breached. BBC News.
Now on BBC Radio 4, the classic serial Christopher Isherwood's Goodbye to Berlin. As Hitler grows in power and the Nazis gain ground, Berlin's spirit of hedonism is under threat, and Christopher begins to realise that the city is changing, and many of his friends are under threat too.
Meine Damen und Herren, wir haben in den trefflichen Schilderungen des Herrn Festredners die nationale und politische Arbeit des Deutschen Ordens durch die Presse in Deutschland.
Ooh, what are you writing now, Chris, darling?
Go away.
Oh, tell me.
You're not interested anyhow.
Of course I am.
She isn't. She's never interested in my work. What do you want, Sally?
Chris!
Well, you won't let me get on till you've told me. The trouble with having Sally around is that between her and Fräulein Schroeder, I can't get started on my writing, let alone finish anything. It's July 1931. I've only recently got back from Rügen Island to find Sally in the throes of her latest drama. Her umpteenth fiancé, after promising her a part in his new film, steals from her and has vanished by morning. She wants me to go with her to the police station. I tell her I'm working and I'll come in a couple of hours. And as soon as she's gone...
Chris!
I'm not here!
I need a clean shirt. Can I borrow one? I haven't time to go to the laundry.
You haven't returned the last one yet, Bobby.
I will, I promise. Please, I'm going to be late.
Is there no peace?
They're in here, aren't they?
At this point, I give up. Go with Sally to the police station, at least to get that out of the way.
Come on, Sally!
Coming home afterwards, I find Fräulein Schroeder mightily exercised.
Ah! Herr Ishibu! Herr Ishibu! Oh, Herr Ishibu, you'll never guess. They've closed the Darmstädter und die National. They've closed the bank.
Have they really?
Yeah. There will be thousands ruined. The milkman says there will be civil war. Now, what do you think?
In the streets, a torrent of people going the same way as me, to the bank on Nollendorfplatz corner. Men and women crowding around the bank, the door locked, windows shuttered. The notice on the door announces in beautiful lettering that the Reichspräsident has guaranteed the deposits and everything is fine. It's just that the bank will not open. A boy runs his hoop against the legs of a woman in the crowd.
You sei nicht so frech, stupid little brat.
Get away from here. What's the matter with you? Oder hast du etwa auch Geld auf der Bank?
The boy flees. The afternoon is very hot. Decrees appear in the early evening papers, and the headline, everything collapses.
Im letzten Gerichtsmorgen, am 14. Juli, ist Nationalfeiertag in Frankreich. Und ohne Zweifel werden sich die Franzosen noch feierlicher fühlen beim Anblick des kommenden Zusammenbruchs Deutschlands.
I go into an outfitter's and buy a pair of ready-made flannel trousers for 12 marks 50. My gesture of confidence on behalf of England. But there is fear on the streets.
No, I don't need to see the doctor.
Yeah, but it looks nasty.
Yeah, I know, it looks nasty.
Yeah, it does, it really does. I know, it's only your toe. But look at the size of it. Oh, is that the phone?
Go on, answer it.
Yeah.
It's a small cut from the last time I went swimming at the Rügen. A piece of sharp tin under the water. It's infected, and she's right. It's not a pretty sight. But really, she never understands. No one who isn't a writer ever does. About leaving me to get on with it. Bad enough that everyone's so jumpy about the referendum.
What referendum?
Everyone except Sally, of course. Don't you ever read the papers?
Yeah, of course not, darling. It's much too depressing.
It's to decide the fate of the Brüning government.
Who's Brüning?
Sally's off on her travels again soon. That'll be one less distraction.
There now, it's your friend, Herr Ishibu. I told him about your toe. He's sending a car for you.
What? Which friend?
Herr Landauer.
Bernhard?
Yeah, genau. The car comes, you are going to the country. He says the air will do you good.
Wurde von Preuß aus mit Hilfe aller deutschen Stämme das Deutsche Reich geschaffen. Preußen war damals Stütze und Eckpfeiler des Reiches. Preußen war unser Stolz. Das soll es wieder werden. Wer Preußen hat, hat Deutschland.
As the car speeds through the glorious sunny August afternoon, I think how kind of Bernhard. How nice it will be to spend an afternoon with him at the cottage on the Wannsee, like the last time. But when I arrive, I find the lawn crowded with people.
Christopher! Here you are at last. Make yourself at home.
You didn't tell me it was a party.
I didn't speak to you.
Well, I wish you'd have said, look at me. I'm in my oldest clothes. For goodness sake, I have a stick.
Come. What does it matter? You have license. You are a writer.
I am wearing braces. Everyone else is in smart Riviera flannels. I put a smile on my face, but it is a sour one. I hobble into the throng, adopting my best, sulky, eccentric manner.
Christopher! Is that you?
Hello, Natalia. You look wonderful. You look really pretty.
That is a surprise.
You look very different, that's all.
I'm happy.
Well, you look it.
Yes.
Well, where in the world have you been all this time?
In Paris. Didn't you know? I wondered why you never wrote.
You never sent me your address.
Yes, I did.
Well, anyway, I've been away too.
Then I'm sorry. I can't help you.
Are you enjoying your time in Paris?
Yes, of course. It's wonderful. Who could not love Paris?
Studying?
Yes.
And your mother is with you?
Yes, I live in the flat with her. I'm going back tomorrow. Actually, I must go and pack.
Well, so soon.
Yes, I leave early. It's so nice to see you, Christopher.
She squeezes my hand and runs gaily across the lawn to a waiting car. She hasn't given me her address. They swim in the lake. I stand in my braces, watching.
Come on in, Christopher. It'll be good for your toe.
A girl begins to sing.
Man liebt sich den Abschied und will sich vergessen, doch bald will man sich zurück.
Footmen bring claret cup on trays. Night is falling. It grows chilly under the millions of stars. And I listen to the talk.
Well, Sergeant and Jewish, of course I know all about exclusion.
But France can't understand Germany. It's obvious they can't. They knew nothing of the German post-war.
Musst du erleben, sie schenkt dir Stunden, die du nie vergisst.
In the city, the votes are being counted. Natalia has escaped. And none too soon.
Bernhard.
Entschuldige.
I really must be getting back.
All right, if you must, I'll get it right. Just a moment. What is it? Have they called the results?
Once again, capitalism is safe.
Bruni got through.
By a squeak.
As the car takes me home along the town scene, street vendors brandish newspapers with news of an incident on the Boulevardplatz. While Bernhard's guests lay on the grass by the lake, laughing and drinking claret cup, A police officer is shot, stumbles up the cinema steps to fall dead at the feet of a cardboard figure advertising a film. A comedy. Good afternoon, Frau Novak.
Yeah, can I help you?
It's Christopher. Isherwood? Otto's friend.
Why, so it is. Herr Christoph. Herr Christoph, come in,
Thank you. Thank you.
People, no manners. Doesn't bother to say thank you.
Don't listen to her. Yeah, I've just backed myself. This is one of my tiring days. And, come in, sit down. Oh, yeah. I'm afraid it's very untidy. I can't get Grete to help. Grete!
Oh, she's gone out!
Otto, come and see who's here.
I'm busy, I've got...
Busy, to... you?
Yes,
yeah, but good for nothing, was fake, then I... Is that any way to talk to your mother? Come,
Frau Novak, it doesn't matter, honestly.
Oh, fine, son, speaking to me like that.
Tell me, Frau Novak, how is your health?
Oh, Herr Christoph. Well, you know, it's up and down. Sometimes I get a burning right here. Mm. And finish work feeling too tired to eat, let alone go home. The doctor, he talks about sending me to a sanatorium.
That sounds like a good
Otto! And the flat is so damp at this time of year, but there are others worse off, aren't there?
I suppose that's always true, yeah.
Oh, my husband was reading only the other day about the English and their pound, how it keeps falling. I hope you haven't lost any money here, Christoph.
Well, actually, that's partly why I've come today, Frau Novak. Yeah? I need to find a cheaper room, and I thought... Perhaps I could ask you if you could recommend anywhere around here.
No. I'm sorry, Herr Christoph. But this part of town, no. A gentleman like you, no. It wouldn't suit you at all.
No, I just want a quiet, clean room, though. 20 marks a month, no matter how small. I'm out nearly all day.
Hunger?
Yeah, was...
Dinner ready yet?
Yeah,
I want to know the name about ready to start.
Du bist ein Lump. Du hast... I have nothing to do but slavery. Hey, it's geschaut.
But this is Christoph.
I was telling you, yeah.
Christoph, I have missed you so much.
Well, as if he has time to visit us. A busy gentleman like Herr Christoph.
I've come to ask for help finding a room, Otto.
I told him it's not his sort of
Christoph,
neighborhood.
Christoph, you are going to live here. Won't that be marvelous? I am so pleased.
Well... you go and look with him now. Dinner will be an hour at least. And, Herr Christoph, you will come and eat with us?
I'm afraid I really have to get back tonight, Frau Novak. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, schade. Yeah.
Yeah. She calls him back as we are leaving, and they argue furiously for a few moments.
She was afraid to ask you, but I said I was sure you'd much rather be with us. You know, everything is clean and there aren't any bugs and no one's going to rob you. You and I can sleep in the back room. You can take Lotus' bed. You will say yes, Christoph. Please.
And so it is settled. My first evening as a lodger in the Novak's house is something of a ceremony.
We're having langhash, Christoph. It's a special treat for your first evening.
Here we are.
I feel honored.
It's ready. Please help yourself. Please. Otto, warte.
Hallo.
Oh, Papi! Mami! Oh, you're
Hello there.
Whatever will
Herr Christoph
think of you?
Herr Christoph has come to live with us, Father.
Yes, of course I'm glad. English, man, Anglais. Yes, yes, I speak French, learned in the war. The best friend.
Drunk.
No, no.
Whatever will Herr Christoph think of you?
Christoph doesn't mind.
Herr Christoph, to you.
Honestly, I'd rather you just call me Christoph.
That's right. All the same flesh and blood.
Konoag has cooked an enormous meal. Lung hash, black bread, boiled potatoes. Enough for 12 people at least.
You're eating nothing, Herr Christoph. Please.
He doesn't
please,
like
please.
Our food.
I do. It's just so much fun. Yeah.
No, come on. You're a thin boy.
You get used to it. Otto was the same when he came back from the Caesar.
Yes. Otto, yes. Need some for Otto.
Yeah, Lothar this, Lothar that.
There's plenty. Really now.
He's at his Nazi meeting.
Yeah. I suppose he is going around to the Nazis, yeah. Since he joined them, he's so restless. He's a different boy altogether. Doesn't talk to us. He does his work all right, but not that I understand anything about politics, but what I always say is, why can't we have the Kaiser back, like in the old days?
What the hell of the Kaiser, Martha?
Don't talk with your mouth full.
We need a communist revolution. That's what Germany needs.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of good-for-nothings, just like you. Lazy bones.
Crazy bones.
Christoph is a communist.
Otto, I'm not a proper one.
Nonsense, Otto. Herr Christoph is a gentleman.
What I say is, we are all eagle as good made us, yeah. You are as
this
good as me.
God, nicht gut.
Yeah, good, and I am as good as you. French, English, German. You understand? All eagle. You understand me, Christoph?
I do.
Yeah. In the war, one day I was alone in a wood, walking alone. Suddenly, in front of me, there's a French man. As close to me as you are now.
He leaps up, acts out what he's saying, a bread knife for a bayonet.
We stand. We looked at each other. I have a weapon. He looked at me. And suddenly he cries, don't shoot me! Don't shoot! I have 5 children! What do I do? I look at him and I say, Ami, friend. We shake hands, we go our ways backward and...
He walks backwards, acting out the drama, collides with the sideboard, glasses jingle, and a photograph frame falls and smashes on the floor.
Papi, oh, look what you've done!
Yes!
Fooling, you old clown!
Oh, come here, little slave!
One lavatory serves 4 flats. Ours is on the floor below. In the night, compromises have to be made. Otto! Otto! Otto, where's the candle? The flat is tiny. 2 bedrooms. One for me and Otto, one for Greta and Lothar. The parents sleep in the living room. I must get to the kitchen in the pitch dark without colliding with anyone's bed.
Oh. No. Where, Christoph? Not there. If you please, in the bucket on the left, by the stove. Excuse me.
In my tiny corner of this enormous human warren of the tenements, I can hear every sound coming from the courtyard. It feels alien, mysterious, like sleeping out in a jungle. A
they don't really do, they don't.
In the afternoons, they don't like mornings. I teach rich women, same age as Frau Novak, but they look 10 years younger, and they have servants who bring us buttered toast and coffee.
You will have coffee, Herr Isherwood.
Yes, thank you.
You were saying about this family.
Oh, yes. So, on Sundays, the father acts out stories of executions.
Executions?
When they kill someone, you know, behead them or perhaps electrocute. Or
sugar?
Yeah, two, please.
And then?
Well, perhaps if you said, and then.
Yes, yes, and then.
He tells the story of William I, who never signed a death warrant.
Ah, really?
He jumps up, mimes the man climbing the platform where the beheading is to take place. He swings the axe and then he makes a noise, like a knack.
To my degree.
And then he says, the head speaks and says, I am innocent.
The head?
Yeah, the head of the dead man in the basket speaks and says, the man who died was innocent.
The head speaks without the body.
Well, it must have been the nerves, I suppose.
I see, yes. And then?
Well, and then the king never signs a death warrant again.
And Herr Isherwood, was he innocent, the man?
Well, Herr Novak says another man confessed to the murder on his deathbed.
You know, really very strange people, shall we?
I do, I certainly do. Then other times he acts out the difference in the way Jews and Catholics pray. He goes down on his knees, bangs his head on the floor, and then he begins... Honestly,
no,
yes.
No.
And he does. He keeps on doing it while he gabbles.
Gabbles?
Kulivotcha, kulivotcha, kulivotcha.
And is this supposed to be Jewish or Catholic?
Do you know, I have absolutely no idea.
I am careful never to let on that I live with the family whose antics cause my rich pupils such amusement. I know they would probably stop asking me for lessons if they knew quite how poor I am. It's a strange double life I lead. Often in the evening, I go drinking with Otto and his friends.
It's a very fine belt you are wearing, Phipps.
It is very fine, isn't it?
Where did you steal it from?
Otto, I'll give you such a swipe.
Come on, where from?
I didn't steal it.
Landauer's, I bet.
Oh, did you really steal it, Phipps?
You know the Landauers, don't you, Christoph?
I do. They're great friends of mine.
Look at his face, what a joke.
You won't tell him, will you?
I wouldn't dream of it. You see, it's Phipps' own version of communism, Christoph. Steal from the rich.
Leave him alone, Otto. Yeah, the bar is very busy tonight.
Oh, it's people coming from the West End. Like from another country, isn't it? Dutchmen, English, come here talking about communism as if they knew anything about it.
And painting. And where to go for the best restaurant.
Tourists.
Later that evening, I overhear a young man with a monocle saying,
all the poetry in the world is in that face.
I think he means Otto. I imagine him next week at some smart club, boasting about his time in the underbelly of Berlin.
What are you smiling about, Christoph?
Oh, just passing thought.
For a book?
Maybe.
There are a bunch of wasters in there, aren't they?
Oh, as if we could talk.
I'm not a waster.
Oh, so you have plans then, do you, Otto?
Of course.
Such as?
My plan is... Christoph?
Yes?
If I show you something... Will you swear not to tell a single soul?
Oh, shh, Otto, you're making such a racket.
All right. Here, my secret box. Mother would burn these if she found them. Look here, Christoph. Her name is Marie. Beautiful eyes. She's mad about me. All the other boys are jealous. But she's not my type. It's funny, as soon as I know a girl is keen on me, I lose interest.
Well, yeah, but that was obvious in Rugen.
What? Oh, those stupid teachers. Look at this one. It's Tode. Christoph, honestly, would you believe she's 27 years old? It's a fact. And she has such a fantastic figure. She lives in the West End. She has a flat of her own. She's been divorced twice. I can go there whenever I like. Look, her brother took this photo of her.
Oh, Otto.
He wanted to take some of us together, but I was afraid he'd sell them. You can be arrested for it.
Really?
You can, trust me. Huh? Here,
Ritzies. A Dutchman brought them to me. Biggest car you ever saw. I was with him in the spring.
Before Werner.
Who? Oh, God, him. Yes, before him. Father got wind of it. Now he watches for the post in case any money comes in the envelopes, dirty dog. But now I get my friends to send letters for me to the bakery on the corner. By the way, Christoph.
Yes?
I want you to do me a favor.
Intercept letters?
No. I just want you to promise you will never mention Werner's name to me again.
Oh. All right, if you'd rather I didn't.
You see, Christoph, Werner hurt me so much. And then he left me all alone. So suddenly.
I should go to a sanatorium.
When?
Now. At once.
Well, then you must.
Oh, but how can I, Herr Christoph? Who will look after this family? They haven't an ounce of sense between them if I'm not here.
But it's your health, Frau Novak. The nurse knows what she's talking about. You know that.
The Jewish tailor, he come too. Always so polite. And of course, I can never pay my account with him. As long as Otto is under this roof, you know, spending money all the time and only earning when he feels like it. I bought Otto a suit 2 years ago and an overcoat. Both worn out and never paid for. Everyone in the neighborhood owes him money, but no one hates him, you know, despite what Lothar says.
What does Lothar say?
Oh, he says that when Hitler comes, he'll show these Jews a thing or two. They won't be so cheeky then.
The tailor doesn't sound very cheeky to me.
After all, he makes very good clothes, yes. And a Jew will always let you have time if you're in difficulties. You wouldn't catch a Christian giving credit like that, like the way he does. You ask the people around here. Go on, Herr Christoph, you ask them. They'd never turn after Jews, never.
No writing getting done here, that's for sure. It's cramped, noisy, there's always someone having an argument or throwing something. And the smell. And Frau Novak's cooking. And the worrying rash I've developed since I moved in here. And Otto. God. Otto, taunting his mother, leaping and screeching and dancing around her like some mad demon.
You're always saying you will.
Come. Never brings a penny into the house.
Because father steals from me.
How dare you? Fox to us, you unnatural child.
Unnatural mother. What? When you were a girl, you went to bed with every pair of trousers you could find.
I wish I had died before you were born.
Come on, then.
Just look at him. He's mad. I must take him to the hospital. Never mind me.
Sitting in the cafe on the next street, I use it to escape. I realize that I must leave. I've saved a bit of money for my teaching. I've sold a couple of articles. I'm going to tell them this evening.
They've taken her to the sanatorium, Herr Christoph.
What? But so suddenly?
Yes. There was a bed free. She must go.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Herr Novak.
She was so happy, as if she had been invited to a party. So... You wanted to see me about something?
Otto takes it badly.
What will become of me? First my mother, now you. I will be left all alone.
You have your father, your sister, your brother.
They don't love me. Father won't give me anything to eat.
Oh, come on, that's nonsense, Otto.
Take me with you, Christoph.
I'm afraid you're a luxury I can't afford.
I wouldn't expect any wages, you know? Just a mark or two to go dancing sometimes.
I'm sorry, Otto.
Thank you.
weeks pass. Christmas comes and goes. In my comfortable bedsit in the West End, I am as far away as if I had gone to the moon. Otto calls, asks me to go with him to the sanatorium to visit his mother. There's a special bus, he says.
Yes, well, I'm seeing a lot of children now.
Oh, the older woman.
Not so much.
No, but the one with the amazing figure, I think you said.
Christoph, some respect, please.
So you mean she gave you the suit?
250 marks. I think we might get married in the spring.
How often do you go home, Otto?
As little as I can.
There's snow on the ground. We stand blinking, it's so bright, and we're stiff from the journey on hard benches. The patients come running out to meet us, all padded and muffled in shawls and blankets.
Otto!
Mother!
Mein Junge!
Sir.
Mein Junge! Und, Herr Christoph, you really come.
Of course we've come.
Oh, my boys, hello.
Frau Novak, you look like a young girl.
Herr Christoph, you flatterer.
No, look at you. You look so relaxed, so well rested.
they've put me in a small ward. Only three of us. Look, this is Erika, the baby.
So this is the famous Otto.
Yeah, this is my boy.
We've looked forward to seeing you forever so long.
My little boy is so big and so strong. You could pick Erika up with one hand.
You mother.
Oh, look, and this here, this is Erna. She's here for the second time.
Elna is perhaps 35 years old. Once she might have been soft, feminine, appealing. Now she is skin and bone, desperate, hungry-eyed.
My husband beat me and ran away. I had Max for months last time. I still dream about him.
Erna has been looking forward to seeing a man now, haven't you?
A real-life man. You have no idea.
And Erika here was innocent till she came in here. Now look.
I've learned a lot, that's for sure. Yeah.
Mother, the nurse told me should rest a little this afternoon.
Oh, no, but I see you so little.
Just for an hour.
Right. We see each other in an hour.
We go walking in the snow with Erika and Erna while Frau Novak takes a nap. We have a snowball fight.
Hey, Otto!
Then we hurry back indoors. In the failing light, back in the ward, Frau Novak has borrowed a gramophone so we can dance. I dance with Elna. Otto dances with Erika.
Yes, when I was young and we lived in East Prussia, we had a sawmill of our own and 30 horses. My father's horses were the best anywhere in the district.
Erna is shivering and shaking in my arms.
Oh, Christoph, it is so good to be heard.
And in the summertime, we would go dancing in the big barn down by the river.
I press my mouth against Elna's thin, dry lips. I feel nothing.
I am so happy this evening. You know, I'm not really consumptive, Christoph. You didn't think I was, did you?
Of course not.
The postmaster's son used to play the fiddle. He played so beautifully. Ah, yeah. You could cry, it was so beautiful.
Otto, you're not the boy.
Oh, what's he doing to you, Erika? You give him a slap, left and right.
Oh,
left
yes, left. Please.
Otto.
5 minutes later, a sister comes to tell us that the bus is ready to leave. We say our goodbyes. There are tears, kisses, promises to write that I know I shall never keep. They all thronged round us for a moment in the little circle of light, their lit faces ghastly like ghosts. It is like leaving a haunted house.
Achtung, Achtung! Hier spricht das neue Preußen Otto Brauns und Karl Severings. Wählerinnen und Wähler, die Not,
die uns helfen, das liebevolle Aufbau Arbeit nach dem furchtbaren Kriegszusammenbruch von 1918 neu geschafft hat, dass sie selbst große finanzielle.
April 1932. Street violence is becoming so common, sometimes the police don't even turn up. It is hard to settle to anything. Too long, 8 months, in fact, since I have seen Bernhard.
What a romantic life you do lead.
I wouldn't call it that.
You look well on it.
I wish I could say the same for you.
You know me, so much work. It's very dull. There's the odd little diversion, though.
Such as?
Take a look at this.
Well, what is it?
A note. I get 3 or 4 like it every week.
Bernhard Landau, beware. We are going to settle the score with you and your uncle and all other filthy Jews. But Bernhard, who sends these?
An employee we've dismissed. A madman.
We give you 24 hours to leave Germany. If not, you are a dead man. Bernhard, you must tell the police.
Do you really think they are going to do anything about it?
Well, the Nazis may write like schoolboys, but they are capable of anything.
I do appreciate your concern, Christopher. I'm not worthy of it at all. My uncle has gone to Warsaw, you know.
You mean you don't want to talk about the letters?
There's no point.
So have you had any news of Natalia and Frau Landau?
Oh, yes, indeed. Natalia's married. Had you heard?
No.
Yeah, to a young French doctor. They're very happy, so I hear.
I am so glad.
Yeah, yes, it's good to think of one's friends being happy.
What do you think will happen in Germany now, Bernhard? A Nazi putsch or a communist revolution?
I'm so glad you have kept your enthusiasm, dear Christopher. I only wish it could seem nearly so momentous to me as it does to you.
Well, why would you wish that?
Because, to me, it all seems so unreal. You know, sometimes I sit here alone among my works of art and find I'm wondering if even the firm of Landau is real, except in my imagination, or if perhaps I myself don't exist. One night, I picked up the phone and had a long chat with one of the night watchmen. I made up some excuses for troubling him. I just had to reassure myself that I exist. Am I going mad? Do you suppose?
I'd say you've been overworking, that's all.
So, a holiday then. A month in Italy. There was a time when that would have sorted me out.
Well, actually, I'm going to England myself in 3 or 4 days.
For how long?
The whole summer, I think.
Oh, you're tired of Berlin at last, then.
Perhaps it's more Berlin getting tired of me.
Will you come back?
I expect so.
You do seem to belong here.
Yes. Who knows?
When I first went to China, I felt as though I was at home for the first time in my life. Perhaps when I die, my soul will fly to Peking.
I think you should take your body there on the train as soon as possible, and certainly go there before you die.
Oh. All right. I take your advice. But on 2 conditions. First, that you come with me, and second, that we leave Berlin this evening.
You mean it?
Certainly I do.
Is this an experiment again? Like in Vance.
Is it real?
What a
pity. I should have loved to have come, but alas, I only have 250 marks in the world.
Naturally, you will be my guest.
Oh, Bernhard, how marvellous. Peking. A few days in Warsaw, then on to Moscow, the Trans-Siberian Railway.
So you will come?
Of course.
This evening?
This very evening?
Absolutely.
Sometimes there is a moment when a life changes.
Oh, I am afraid I can't. Not this evening. I have to get my washing back from the laundry. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is too late.
Oh, really too late?
Really.
Oh, well, what a pity.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
You like your joke?
I always appreciate a good joke.
Yes.
He is still laughing when I say goodbye. I leave for London soon after.
How long for? I see. Hamburg, you say? All right. I'll call back then.
I have returned to Berlin in the autumn of 1932. Bernhard is not home when I call. I am busy, so many pupils, people to see. And another Christmas comes and goes. I send him a card, but there is no answer. I call him from call boxes. I am back with Fräulein Schroeder, and I don't want to get her into trouble by calling Jewish numbers.
Ach, ja, it's so cold, Herr Ishibu.
Oh, it's not so bad.
I have to wear my jacket all day long. I keep my feet on the stove, and still, I'm cold as ice.
Shall I make you some tea?
No. You stay here. I'm so lonely.
Have you heard from Fräulein Meyer?
Yeah, she's in Holland, you know.
That's right, on a cabaret tour, yeah. I remember.
Yeah. I only have Bobby to talk to when you're not here, Herr Ishibu. And I think he steals from me.
Oh, I am sure he doesn't. He may be poor, but he's no thief, Fräulein Schroeder.
I think it was Bobby who stole that money from Fräulein Kost. She got so cross and left because I said she must have spent it. No. I think it was Bobby. Yeah. And so I lost Fräulein Kost.
Fräulein Kost went to live with her Japanese man, Fräulein Schroeder.
You mark my words, she'll get him to marry her. She'll go far, that girl. Yeah. And Fräulein Bowles, gone too.
Yes.
Yeah. She won't come back.
I don't think she will, no.
No.
Bobby is just as depressed and mournful as Fräulein Schroeder. I rarely go to the Troika these days. When I'm not teaching, I usually spend time in the communist cafe by the Memorial Church. Most evenings you can find a gang of earnest intellectuals, Jewish writers, people like Pepys and his activist friend Rudy. He's 18, ready to change the world.
Knocker. How do you say that in English?
Ripping. Yes, that's the nearest I can think of.
Ripping?
Yes.
What are the Boy Scouts like in England?
I have absolutely no idea.
Come on, Christoph.
Honestly, Rudy, I don't know.
Are you a communist?
No. Are you?
How can you even ask? Of course I am. Come and see our clubhouse. It's ripping.
Oh, very good.
We sing the red flag, all the forbidden songs. You know, we made a demonstration at the labor exchange.
Yeah, I had heard that.
I tell you, Christopher, the capitalist system can't last much longer now. The workers are on the move.
Bülowstrasse, nighttime. There's been a big demonstration at the Sportspalast. Suddenly, an SA man comes face to face with a youth, maybe 17 years old.
That's him! Ow! 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 Bastard! Shoot!
The boy has been kicked after death.
I'll call a taxi. The hospital is not far.
His left eye hangs half out. Blood pours from his wounds. Policemen, heavily armed, on a street corner nearby, do nothing. Today, January 22nd, 1933, the Nazis hold a demonstration on the Bülowplatz. Police brandish rifles. The crowd surges. An armored car appears, turns its machine gun in my direction. People stampede into doorways and cafes. The car moves on. I catch sight of Rudy.
Rudy! Rudy!
Come on! The fun's not over yet!
January 31st, 1933. Hitler forms a cabinet with Hugenberg.
Franz says it won't last till spring.
Who's Franz?
You should meet him. He's a journalist. He's with us.
The newspapers are like school magazine, full of rules and punishments and lists of people in detention.
Franz and I meet in the communist cafe.
So where does that leave you then?
Good question. It gets harder to get anything real out there. You just have to keep on trying, doing what you can, believing. The atmosphere in this place has changed.
Has it?
Everyone seems so scared. They speak so quietly these days. Everyone expects to be arrested.
It does seem a bit quiet.
Only yesterday, two SR men came in. A Jewish writer ran to the phone to call the police. The Nazis dragged him out
and took him away. Well, what happened?
Nobody moved a finger.
Were you here, friends?
I wasn't.
And Rudy?
If he'd been here, he'd have gone after them with a fork rather than let them just get away with it. Yeah. He won't make old bones, said one.
This morning I am walking down the Bulowstrasse and I see the Nazis raiding the house of a small liberal pacifist publisher. They have brought a lorry and are taking away all his books. The lorry driver holds up one book.
Nie wieder Krieg, no more war. What an idea for a book.
He is holding the book as if it is a slimy sort of reptile. February 1933.
They are calling it a decree for our protection, Herr Ishibu. I suppose der Führer knows what is right.
The decree for the protection of the people and state is passed.
Do you really think so, Fräulein Schroeder?
People say he wants war. But I think he is a man of peace, Herr Ishibu.
Heute Morgen um 10 Uhr hat der Boykott begonnen. Wird bis die Mitternachtstunde fortgesetzt. Vollzieht sich mit einer schlagartigen Wucht.
April 1st, 1933. The morning of the Jewish boycott. I decide to take a walk around to Landau's and find two or three SA boys posted at each entrance. I recognize one of them from my evenings at the Troika Club. I watch the shop, and I think about Bernhard.
Yes?
I've come to see Alanda.
There's no one of that name here.
Of course there is. You know him well, and you and I have met here many times. Please don't pretend. I want to see Alanda.
He's gone away.
Gone away?
Yes. He's gone away. Gone right away.
Do you mean he's moved from here?
He's gone right away. Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
You buy me a present?
Oh, it's only a little thing.
Oh.
big, Greta.
Look, I got one for myself, too.
Really? How strange. I mean, what would a young gentleman like you want with a nutmeg, Greta?
Oh, I don't know, a souvenir.
Why souvenir?
I'm leaving, Fräulein Schroeder.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid so.
No, but why?
Berlin is changing so much.
No, it isn't.
The day of the Jewish boycott, that is when I bought this nutmeg grater in Landauers.
Ah, yeah. Your friend?
Yes. I haven't seen him. He's disappeared. I tried to find him.
Well?
He's vanished, Fräulein Schroeder. And so many people are vanishing.
The Führer does not want war.
You know they've taken away the Jewish members of the management at the radio station.
Oh, have they?
They say they've made camps outside the city. Concentration camps.
I don't believe it.
You know, sometimes you sound more like Fräulein Meyer than the Fräulein Schroeder I used to know.
What do you mean?
Remember how you used to argue with her? You voted communist at the last elections in November, didn't you?
Of course not, the very sort.
Anyway. Berlin doesn't seem like Berlin anymore.
I shall be left with just Bobby.
Fräulein Schroeder is like an animal changing its coat for winter. The whores on the street say hello.
Can I entertain you?
Not today, thanks. Perhaps another time.
You always say that.
I catch sight of my face in the mirror of a shop window. I see that I'm smiling. It's the sunny weather. It's the trams going up and down the Kleiststrasse, just as usual. It's the people going about their business.
I've saved my life, Chris. Capitalism won't last.
And Hitler is master of this city. May 1933. I leave Berlin for the last time. My first stop, Prague. At a restaurant alone, I overhear two men, one Austrian, both Aryan,
you
prosperous, sleek.
Landauers of Berlin?
Sure I do. Did a lot of business with them one time. Nice place they've got there.
Seen the papers this morning?
No, too busy moving into the new flat. Wife coming back.
You don't say. Been in Vienna, hasn't she?
Yes, that's right.
Did she have a good time?
Spent enough, so I'd say yes.
What I was saying...
Landauers.
Ah, yes. There was a piece about Bernhard Landauer.
Bernhard? He's a son, isn't he? Or maybe the nephew?
No, he's a son. Whoever he is, he's dead.
Really?
Heart failure. That's what the paper said.
Heart failure? You don't say.
There's a lot of heart failure in Germany these days. Anyone's heart is likely to fail if it gets a bullet in it.
Ah, those Nazis.
They mean business. You mark my words. They are going to clear the Jews right out of Germany. Right out.
I don't like it.
Concentration camps. They get them in there, make them sign things, and then their hearts fail.
I don't like it. It's bad for trade.
Yes.
Makes everything so uncertain. What about the old man Landauer? Did they get him too?
Not him. Too smart. He's in Paris.
You don't say.
The Nazis will take over his business.
Then old Landauer will be ruined, I guess.
He will have a bit put by somewhere. He will start again.
You can't keep a good Jew down. That reminds me. Did you ever hear the story about the Jew and the gory girl?
I am a camera.
No.
With its shutter open. Quite passive. Recording, not thinking. Recording the man shaving at the window opposite, and the woman in the kimono washing her hair. Someday, all this will have to be developed. Care
carefully printed. Fixed.
Hallo, süßer Junge. Hallo, Liebling.
Can I entertain you?
I think we might get married in the spring.
We are all eagle as bird made us, yeah.
I am so happy to
see you. It's harder to get anything real out there.
On two conditions.
Oz, it's wonderful. Who could not love Perry?
First, you come with me.
What are you writing now, Chris, darling?
And we leave Berlin tonight.
Just have to keep on trying, doing what you can, believing.
How marvelous.
Will you come?
Does it have to be tonight?
Tomorrow is too late.
Christopher Isherwood was played by James Norton. Natalia Landauer by Nicola Schössler. Fräulein Schröder, Sally Bowles, by Leslie Morton. Erika by Julia Retschnick. Bernhard Landauer by Andrei Kaczmarczyk. Otto Nowak by Tilmar Kuhn. Herr Nowak, Matthias Horn. Goodbye to Berlin by Christopher Isherwood was dramatized by Tina Peppler. It was produced in Berlin by Polly Thomas and was a Something Else production for BBC Radio 4. Sole survivor of a whaling ship tells the tale of his captain's obsessive hunt for Moby Dick.
Something rolled and tumbled like an earthquake beneath us. A wave swamped us. A gush of scalding, stinking vapor shot up nearby. And we were half suffocated as we were tossed helter-skelter into the white, curdling water.
Moby Dick by Herman Melville. BBC Radio 4's new classic serial begins next Sunday at 3.
Well, back to this Sunday afternoon. And after the news, in a special edition of Open Book from the Cheltenham Literary Festival, Mariana Frostrup talks to the author Salman Rushdie about his new novel, Luca and the Fire of Life. And the American crime writer James Elroy reflects on his memoir, in which he describes his obsessive pursuit of women following his mother's murder when he was 10. Open Book with Mariana Frostrup is in a couple of minutes. Then at 4:30, Roger McGough introduces a selection of requested poems on the subjects of autumn, migrant birds, and the desperate attempts of Odysseus to get home from Troy. Poetry Please with Roger McGough is at 4:30 this afternoon.